What's up, boys? This is Nico. Just a little disclaimer. We tried to do a video episode for this, but one of the iPads wasn't recording. What do you know? So, this one's just going to be on video, or sorry, just going to be on audio. If you hear us reference a video, sorry. Subscribe to the YouTube anyway. We promise we'll get better at posting, and we love you. Thank you. Enjoy the episode.
Oh my God, the end of a year. What a
year
it was.
What a year it was. Hello, December 30th.
Yes.
You've come around.
Wait, today's
again.
My half birthday. That can't be right. Never mind. No. Two thirds. Today's my 2/3 birthday.
Yeah, you're 4 months away from your birthday.
Oh, you're right. Today's my 2/3 birthday.
5 months away. Right?
4.
5.
When this comes out, I'm 4.
Right. Totally.
I was born on the last day of April.
Absolutely. You were.
In kindergarten, I tried to tell. Well, yes, thank you for telling people that. I think people don't realize how I am tethered to the earth in a big way.
And stubborn as fuck.
That is, yeah, that's true. Did you know that that's a part of Taurus?
Yeah.
You get mad at me, you never get mad at the stars.
Well, next time I'll say, Taurus.
Wait, so what is being, don't tell me, a Libra, is that you're free?
Balanced.
What's the negative part? What's your stubborn version?
That I can be too much of a early Libra, I think. And write in on the comments if you have something else to say about astrology that will get people fired up and get traction on this video. I think it's that, like, sometimes Libras can be, like, I think the, like, thing is, like, two-faced or just, like, people-pleasy, so they're, like, trying to do too much.
Every day list I have is, like, people-pleaser Wednesday, people-pleaser Thursday, cat people-pleaser.
I know. Why are they always getting cat?
Pilates princess people pleaser.
Dude, I hate the way, like, I don't know what fucking, like, word cloud Spotify is pulling from when it makes those playlists, but, like, shut the fuck up.
Situationship, passenger princess. Let's look at both of ours right now.
Like, it might as well be like, hey, you fucking loser. Nobody wants to love you.
No, it is really embarrassing. I mean, sometimes the
I don't know where my phone is, so I can't.
Wait, literally?
I can't look into mine.
Yours is probably going to be really, like, happy and
no,
typical.
I get, like, mine was, like,
bro,
Pilates princess at one point, because I was, because I...
That's really offensive.
I know.
Think about it. I don't think they know their audience. Wait, the one that was just before was vlog snowboarding.
What the fuck does that mean?
I don't know, but then it just shifted.
Vlog?
Vlog.
Like, what is that, like, background ambiance? It's like, going through the grocery store.
Vlog snowboarding. And now this one is Happy Pop Alt Z Friday afternoon, which includes EDM Progressive House, Happy Pop Alt Z, Do It for the Plot, Kitchen Disco, Bubblegum. Let's see what's on that though. Because what I love is that then you can click and see Do It for the Plot mix.
Red Wine, those are Supernova, all Dress, Run for the Hills.
Those are amazing songs, bro. Bro, those are amazing.
Karma.
Wait, we didn't talk about Tate McRae last week.
I love the entire Chapel album. If you had to pick your favorite song off of that Midwestern Princess album, what
Casual.
Me too.
I think it's just gorgeous.
Oh, it's so heartbreaking too.
It's a perfect song.
It's also like a perfect queer anthem of like, is this casual now? It's like, oh!
The bridge is really great. And there's like an instrument that I find to be really pleasing in it, but I couldn't tell you what it is. Is it like, know how it's like,
is it casual?
It's not a synth.
Is it
casual? Dun, dun, dun. It's like brassy. It's not brassy. What's the instrument that I like?
The mandolin.
Is that what
I don't know. It does. The trombone. Is it casual now? Wah, wah, wah.
Because I do think that Reputation Taylor
let's
version will
start,
be jazz.
Let's start a side channel to the Boys Club podcast called Connor Learns the Trombone Again. It's just once a week you playing a new song on the trombone.
When I tell you that, like, I just feel like there are so many things to be upset about with your childhood in general, like, of anyone's childhood, but, like, one of the ones that I really am not going to let go is the trombone.
Yeah.
What do you mean you just hand this child an instrument and I don't know how to read music. Like,
I told you about my trumpet audition, right?
No.
Okay. So at my school, the way it worked was, like, at the end of fifth grade, you would audition for the jazz band.
Mm.
And then if you didn't get into that, if you were already in the orchestra, you could continue on with the orchestra, but you had already been in, I wasn't in it. And so your other option was audition for jazz band or be in chorus. And the chorus teacher was, like, notoriously, like, would make you do a solo on the first day of class. And I had such a horrible singing voice. I was so anxious about that. I was like, well, I will do anything to not have to do that. So I really wanted to be in the jazz band. And I ended up getting the trumpet. But the guy who taught us the trumpet was, like, from, like, the music store. Like, they would just, like, bring these guys in from the music store, like, with a fake, or
what's
not a fake.
What's the music store?
Like, a music, like, they would, like, I'm not kidding.
It's the music, like, a specific, like, low like bar.
No, like, they worked at the music store in Savannah. I don't know what it was called, but it was the music store.
Lenny's Music Store.
It's, like, where they had musical instruments sure. for purchase. And sure. so these guys, these fellas would come down to the auditorium and we would each get a turn to go up and like play the instrument that they brought to class to see like if we could do it.
They clean it?
New mouthpiece. And but the guy who taught us the trumpet was like, the best way to learn this is to act like you're kissing someone.
Oh,
and
my
I was like, we're 10.
These are children.
I was like,
we're like, no, we're kids and you're a loser.
Worse than this. If you're good at the trumpet, it means you're a good kisser. Verbatim said that to us.
That's just a lot.
I said, you can't be coming down from the music store to tell children this.
I just felt really
I hope that music store is more than 500 feet from a school is all I have to say. Okay.
I just feel like if it was, he wouldn't need to go to the school. His school's coming to him.
Christ almighty.
There's something that was so vulnerable about your face with a trumpet or a trombone where it's just like, I can't be seen like this. Like, let go of...
Like... and if you play the trombone...
It's just, like, such an unattractive way to be. And, like, I know that it's good to let go and to be an artist, but there's no art that really takes you there more than one of the brass instruments. Like, it's too much.
No, that's... There's no quiet way to practice the trombone or the trumpet.
I just don't know if this makes sense. I can't emphasize enough that no one told me how to make a note. Do you understand?
Mm-hmm.
What is a note? So it's like there's two parts to this. You're reading music and you're like, what is this? Because I could read piano, I guess. But then it's like, yeah, I get what a C is on the thing, kind of sometimes on a good day. How do I do that, you know, with this swinging metal thing? Like, what yeah. does that mean?
No, I always found the trombone absolutely impossible to learn.
And gross. And it smelled awful.
And we know all of them are A.
Because I
ripped to the spit valve.
I didn't know where the spit valve was. No one
nor
ever,
that it even existed.
No one ever told me about it.
Yeah, that's kind of like a day one. They got to teach you that.
No. I had so much going on. And then, the musical was How to Succeed in Business, worst musical of all time.
And you're playing the trombone for that musical?
Oh, my God. I wasn't a loser. I was in the musical.
Of course.
I just
course.
Meant, like, there's a lot going on at once.
Yeah, sure, sure.
This is the early Obama years.
Yeah.
I was just, like, a gay
Glee
teenager.
Is on.
Glee. Dude, do you ever, like, see Glee videos and think, aren't these teenagers? Is that okay to say?
Yeah. No,
like, earnestly.
I spent Halloween in Charleston with a friend of mine a couple years ago, and we watched the next morning after, like, we watched a bunch of Glee episodes, and it was what?
I just don't know where this is headed, and it can't be good.
We watched a bunch of Glee episodes, and we were like, oh my God, how did they ever let this on TV? Like, it is so fucking crazy.
I forget what
like it is
was.
Like progressive for its time in terms of like it's wanting to like there's a lot of representation of identity on that show. Is it handled well?
There's
no.
that. There's also like I'm pretty sure not to be like I'm like sex positive. It's just like not necessarily like when it comes to like high school, you know? And like
well, it's like children. We are dealing with children, so there's that.
And like I get that these actors are totally 30, but like it's hard for me to overlook the fact that they are in 10th grade.
Yeah.
And it was a Britney Spears song. I think it was Toxic or something. And it was just like them doing Toxic on Glee. Imagine yeah. that. Like imagine this.
Yeah.
It wasn't good. It was no. like a bad situation.
And Will Schuster's in there being like taste of your lips, I wanna rest.
Gwyneth Paltrow comes in, and you do wonder with Glee, you're like, did the sure this pushed us forward, but how much did it set us back?
At what cost?
Glee does feel like two steps forward, three steps back.
When Glee was pitched, here's the question I have to pose to them: are you sure? Are you sure?
That's a callback to our last episode, which we filmed 7 days ago.
And, yeah.
I was wearing the same
for
shirt.
The exact same LaSalle basketball.
Can you tell I'm like leaning into my roots.
I mean, that's LaSalle College, not LaSalle Academy for Boys, right?
This is the college. Thank you for asking.
Yeah.
How did you know?
Because you recently went to a LaSalle basketball game.
My parents met there. They met at LaSalle. It was a college when they went there, but now it's a university, which is just means they added
them.
A grad program.
Good for them.
Is that how you become a university? Yeah. They added a grad program.
Good for them.
My grandfather
taking more money
for years. Yeah. LaSalle University, the Explorers, the mascot.
Do you think
is
we will
Columbus.
Ever, you know, I don't think we will, but do you ever think we would see the fall, like the fall of higher ed?
It feels like higher ed is like so disconnected and unnecessary and tied to like 75,000 problematic things.
Yeah.
And I think that it's beautiful, a world where we can all go read books under trees. Wouldn't that be, isn't it pretty for that to be the world?
Yeah.
But that's just like not the world that we live in.
Yeah.
And it's hard for me to think of like a benefit to the average person of going to college. My yeah. benefit was that I got sober. The average person's not trying to get sober.
It's like there's probably a cheaper rehab facility you could have gone to.
Undoubtedly. I also, yeah, I feel... And like with what
would they
do,
have had an acting program at the at that facility?
I bet they would have had a talent show.
You know, you probably could have done more work. Remember, you would have been directing. You would have been acting.
I know that's true.
Producing.
I do still think that there's Did you see Girl Interrupted?
Mm-mm.
Is Girl Interrupted the one where Angelina Jolie goes into a facility? Let me know. And Brittany Murphy's there. I could be totally wrong.
I don't know.
I'm very drawn to the idea of doing like a facility type show.
I think you should.
I just haven't been in one.
Yeah.
So I need to go into one. There's always a silver lining.
Say I'm checking in for research.
Yeah. And then when I'm there, I realize I'm so problematic. And I'm like, oh, I realize now that I actually need to
be. That could be an interesting way in as somebody who doesn't want to go.
Yes.
Or who thinks they're about. I mean, I think that's a really interesting way into any sort of work.
I thought I would have an idea for a rom-com movie because I was thinking that like I should introduce. I wanted someone to date my brother, and then I was like, "You can date my brother, but you can't get married until I get married." And then I was like, "Well, that actually is a rom-com. Is that you have to get the older brother married so you can marry the younger brother?" Obviously, it wouldn't be as gay as they make it sound. That would just be like a lot for like it's like one gay person. It's queer enough.
Fade in. Corner of animal gossiping.
Wait,
no.
Was that this episode or the last episode?
Last episode.
See, this is why we don't do.
This is why it's difficult.
We did the other one today. We have to be honest.
Okay, we have to be honest. What? We're limited for time. Sorry.
It is interesting that they would. When have I gossiped?
I think you got to let go of that word.
You're right.
Let
gossip.
It, just throw it away.
Totally.
Don't even think about it.
And you never know, like what's
replace
going
it
up.
With whatever word you want it to be.
Raising funds.
Yeah, there you go. In the corner of animal raising funds.
Asking real questions.
Asking questions. Wait, I was going to ask you something about...
I loved when we talked about Glee.
Oh, Glee. Yeah,
I said nothing else. To say. But I just loved when we talked about it.
Well, of course. It's a phenomenon. And, you know, I mean, to bring it into this past year...
I'm just not comfortable enough with myself to ever be on that show. Do you know what I mean? Could you imagine the level of earnestness that you like to go on and be like...
I mean, it's no coincidence in my mind that so many people have had massive fallouts or death post that show.
Like that the
Lea Michele has become sort of this cultural.
The way that there were so many things you could draw to, and that you drove to the illiterate, kind of annoying woman, and it's like, yeah, alongside,
and then all these deaths,
devastating things.
So
I mean, the saddest thing that ever happened is that woman's death.
Yeah,
like,
that was really sad.
So sad,
and both of the overdoses. Well, then that one guy, yeah,
was he in jail?
I don't know.
Didn't he die in jail?
There was the one guy who had like child pornography, Puck.
Puck.
Yeah.
I know.
To bed. Anyway.
Wait,
obviously,
I'm going to get in trouble for saying this, so I'm not going to say it.
Okay, don't say it then. Okay, so then just talking about Ryan Murphy and our... Did you watch the Menendez?
He is Ryan Murphy.
Did you watch the Menendez Brothers thing?
Wait, no. And well, I saw clips of it on
Pornhub.
Yeah, I saw clips.
Connor's real. The Menendez brothers. Twink gets spit roasted at party.
Literally. Yeah, pass around bottom.
Oh, no.
I can't say that earnestly.
Party favor.
I just like, don't know that I... Is, what's a party favor?
Pass around party favor.
Oh, that's fun. Do people say that?
If not, I coined it here first.
You guys can steal that.
You can say,
you guys can
hey, put
that
on a shirt.
Wait, that's fun.
Hey, come on, y'all. Put that on a shirt.
I don't remember what I was saying.
The Menendez brothers. You did.
Oh my God, I didn't see it.
I didn't either. I was like, obviously it's an interesting story and it's kind of one of those car crash stories where you're like, oh my God, what happened here? But it's also, I don't know. It, obviously like there is really traumatic, incestual sexual violence that exists in that story. Or at least that's the allegedly, I don't know if it's whatever, allegedly, I guess. But to then sexualize that in the way that show did is so gross.
It did sexualize it based on what I saw.
It's like, why is it so sexy?
Are they in jail?
I don't know. Oh, the real ones.
No, the real ones are in jail. I meant in the show, are they in jail?
I don't know.
Or is it more just like...
I think it's like it predates them going to jail, I think.
Yeah, that's really like wild and just, like... I kind of grew up with that story because, like, I was really into, like, true Hollywood story. So I, like, grew up very much around, like, Sharon Tate and the Menendez brothers and every weird thing that ever happened in Hollywood.
Sure.
So I was always kind of, like, intrigued by such a thing. One thing that I saw recently that was, like, some man being, like, even if they were, it was some, like, law enforcement man. Law enforcement's so weird. Heard it here first. And they were, like, but even if they did get molested, why would they kill the mom? That's a murder. They should be in jail. And it's, like, but if they got molested, we are talking about a level, I can't believe we're doing this on the podcast, whatever. We're talking about, like, a level of trauma where it feels so reductive and simplistic to be, like, why would they kill, I don't know, they're traumatized people.
If you were molested, you probably want to fucking shoot everybody. Like, what are you talking about?
And it's, like, we're not in that house. And if, like, if that is what happened, we don't know, like, what.
I know.
It's... Maybe this is how we make it big, is that we just, like, give our honest, unfiltered opinions on, like, true crime and be like, we just feel like XYZ.
But anyway, so that was a Ryan Murphy.
Well, he also did Truman Capote.
So many people were saying about Luigi Mangione being like, Ryan Murphy put the pen the fuck down.
Oh, that's, yeah, that's like, real.
That is absolutely where he's headed next.
Okay, but when does he have time to work? He's doing so much. Wait, like, let's think through this. That guy, every American Horror Story, which I've never seen because I watched one episode and there was like a body in the first scene. I was like, I can't do this. Like a dead body.
Yeah.
And then he did that one with Truman Capote, right?
I don't know.
And then he's always doing something.
Yeah.
He did that one with Emma Roberts.
You know what I'm excited that's coming back, though, separate from this? But another gay creator, Mike White. White Lotus Season 3 is coming out
when?
In March, I think.
That could heal me.
February? Actually, February.
I might be fixed from that.
I know, right?
I'm excited for
we
this
just need,
happen.
We need our fucking TV back. What the fuck? Give me my TV back!
Wait, but we know how we always talk about how people like can't like wait a week to watch the next episode. Like, that's not how it operates. That's not true anymore.
That's not true at all.
Oh, really? I take it back then because I'm the one that said it.
Wait. Okay, wait. No, I think we're on the same page. You're saying that people can't
The
wait
idea
a week.
Is that people, like...
I do think that we have an attention deficit.
Yeah.
We have an attention issue now because of smartphones and social media and our, like, dopamine dumps we get from that. I think we all have, like, been chemically affected by that. And I think on the whole, our attentions are worse than they used to be.
Oh, for sure.
That said, I do think people have the capacity to wait for a week for TV to come out. I think that actually putting that, like, it's like, why do we always have to bend to what, like, the id wants?
You're right. Like, why?
Like, tech wants to feed our id. They want to feed our stupidest self. And it's like, why can't we set up a society that actually feeds our, like, better selves?
Why can't,
you know what I mean,
we force people into a TV model that works for us? Like, why can't we say no one will be releasing a season at a time? We're going to force you to become the type of consumer that... I don't know if that's how things work, but if tech is able to force you into things, why can't TV be run in a way that, like, prolongs TV?
No, it totally could be. They just don't want to, because that would, A, make more work for them, and also then they would like, make less money for the CEOs. And also now that there's all these tech companies that are also studios, that's a problem, you know? Because, like, Amazon and Apple don't have real incentive to, like, beef up their production and their, like, studio arms, because they're tech companies.
It feels like entertainment is now, like, you're going to a candy store for a quick hit, a quick rush, instead of the Peter Luga for a big four-course steak
big
dinner.
Big fucking steak dinner that I pay for in cash.
Because you know what they used to... Okay.
Cash steak.
I know they're cash only.
Yeah, steak.
We should rob the Peter Luger.
We should do an episode of the Peter Luger.
Oh my god, we should. Do you think they would let us?
Yeah, I mean, come on. We got Jackson on it.
Yeah, you can anywhere that these iPads will go, we can do an episode. So,
and listen, we got the 11 inch so that it could fit.
Don't you think the iPad is so bizarre to me? I still remember I was worried that I was gonna watch porn on it. Couldn't even figure out how. But, like, I couldn't even tell you how to do that.
Tried.
I don't know what it is. I don't even know how to connect to that thing. It's not like I can type on it.
You haven't been able to type on it yet?
No.
I will show you.
No. I will show me. Unless you do it first. Someone should.
I will show you showing me showing you.
That's beautiful. That's actually that's the new Teach Amanda Fish.
Yeah. Teach Amanda.
Showing me, showing you. You know that song?
No. Loving Abba. Me, knowing you.
Wait. You know Mamma Mia?
Mamma Mia. You know, because I actually really related to the song Dancing Queen when I was a 17-year-old, because I was the 17-year-old homecoming queen. So.
Brag.
Dancing Queen, young and only 17.
I loved that song when I was a child because I got really... Well, actually, I got really into... Okay, do you remember the 18s? You're, like, a little younger, so you might not know what they are because you were, like, one. But when I was, like, 4 or 5, there was this band called the 18s, and their big single was Upside Down, Bouncing Off the Ceiling. You ever heard of this?
Oh, yeah. No, I know that song.
Oh, yeah. Okay. And then you were one.
Well, I've heard it. I mean, songs live on.
Crazy, their longevity.
Songs live on.
They weren't giving longevity.
Yeah,
so, like,
yeah,
that's
yeah.
incredible. So then
one
that was...
Wonder vibes.
Yeah, yeah. But they also did an ABBA cover album.
Yeah.
Before Mamma Mia.
Yeah.
Before Mamma Mia was even on Broadway in 2003.
Wow.
Yes, or maybe 2002. I think 2000... No, I think...
Prophetic.
Yeah. They're really prophetic. So I got really into the song Dancing Queen. But then when I was in, remember when I was in the hospital and my mom brought me an album, and I say in my joke that it's a Britney Spears album because
right,
it's more palatable.
That's more...
It was an 18s album.
Fuck yeah.
But, like, the real ones would only the real ones
only
would
the
understand.
Real ones would know. Yeah. 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 I feel like Britney's a more relatable.
You understand what I mean really fast if I say Britney. Yeah. It's yeah, like yeah, yeah. You get that I'm saying that now I'm gay because of this. Blah, uh-huh. blah, blah.
What was I going to say about?
I was going to say that people, the reality TV is consumed in a way that we want people to be consuming narrative television. Like, it is one episode a week.
Yeah.
And people wait.
Yeah.
And they talk about it constantly.
Well, that's the thing that I think that they've lost out on is that in the streaming model, people, like the word binge is associated with other negative things.
Sure.
Binge drinking, binge eating. Like, we know that those are, like, unhealthy habits. So, like, why is binge viewing not an unhealthy habit?
Sure.
And also, like, they know now, I think, or at least they're learning, it's like, we don't hold those things in our minds and bodies as long as we do with, like, the things that come out once a week. Because
sure.
we're having conversations about it online. We're having conversations about it in person. That's how you build buzz over the course of a season.
And that feels like how reality TV feels really supported by social media.
Mm-hmm.
How do
And I think that things like White Lotus that come out weekly like that,
right.
they do get that treatment because people are talking about it online.
You're right. You're right. Oh, that's really interesting.
It's like, why don't we allow for, like, I, you know, they're trying to conflate these things too much, like, into one sort of... They're trying to conflate the way that people consume social media is, like, oh, they're getting it all the time, now. That's how TV should be. And it's like, no, let that be the now. Actually service the TV by putting it out once a week so that the now is just the conversation continuing.
I know.
You know? I don't know why that's so... Like, I just can't imagine what putting a full season out of TV, like, does.
I know.
Like, I don't think it helps anybody.
It becomes like a weird blip on the radar.
It can't help.
Life.
It like, like, I just like don't understand from like a business model how that helps. Like, unless they have to do less of like announcements or something. I don't know. I can't see how
I
that
guess
would be.
People think that if it's a week apart, people aren't going to like keep watching it.
It's like.
But I think that that
also. But like
also...
maybe like more like mid TV that you're just like, I'll just put this on and watch 17 episodes of it and be like, okay, like I'm not going to watch this again. But like.
Yeah, I guess HBO's ability to, like, hold on to this, like, Sunday night thing feels yeah. intentional. And
it's also because they're putting out work that's worth watching once yeah. a week. Yeah.
It's like HBO and... Are HBO and Bravo the leaders of entertainment right now?
I mean, kind of.
It feels like they're the last.
Yeah.
Bravo is so... Like, I watch Real Housewives of Salt Lake City every week, and I get excited for it,
yeah.
and I read about it, and I love it.
The Reddit threads, the...
I'm in it.
You know,
I'm in
all,
the weeds.
Yeah.
Like, I don't... It's hard... I don't know. It feels like there are like really few things that capture the monoculture in terms of television
yeah.
right now.
Yeah.
But that's a weekly thing.
I think it's, I'm hoping that they lean back into that.
Yeah.
More often. But I think Netflix ultimately fucked us all.
Well, that's what I
with
wonder.
With their big sugar candy dreams of baseless nothing.
That's what I want. Is like, is actually that simply as a platform, not a place where people will go for a weekly show? Is like
yeah, I don't know. Curious. I mean, I'm interested to see how they adapt because I mean, they obviously like sort of started the streaming model and kind of coined the sort of binge watching, you know, term or whatever or life or way of consuming. But I don't know if they'll adapt because I think other things will have to.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't know if they will be able to like stick to that identity. In ways that other places won't. I don't know. I guess we'll see.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because I really liked that Kristen Bell. Well, I don't know if it's true. I really watched that Kristen Bell show. But I never felt like
that. And
Adam
Brody?
Yes. That was like 11 episodes. And it's just a long thing. And I did watch it. But it never felt like it became like a thing that I engaged with.
Yeah.
Al. And it's like, well, this was 11 episodes. Like, that's a big season.
Yeah.
For now, for today. And... So it's like why, and it was all released at once. So it's like a big thing that you just like you do and then you like forget about it, you don't think about it again. But there's not, I don't know. So it's like how does the something that's not like a murder, a crime
yeah.
become like a part of the, I don't know, something you're going to turn on every week.
It's also like there's so many shows you can binge because there's so much of a back catalog of all types of shows that are already out or like have seasons that are already out. So it's
yeah.
like that makes sense to have somewhere you can go watch all that unlimited.
Uh-huh.
But then like for things that are actively coming out, like why don't we give it that? I don't know. It's like there's so much work that goes into making something. Don't you want to release it with some gravitas and not just piss it into the internet? Like, I don't understand.
I guess that's what I'm curious about. Like, with an 11, like, what is the financial... I don't know how those things make their money on subscribers.
Know.
So, like, Yeah, like what's the benefit of like releasing?
I mean, famously, they're like sort of bleeding venture capital all the time. So I don't know.
Venture capital.
Something we don't have, but we would love to get if you want to subscribe to the YouTube.
I know. I met all these venture capital boys at my job and I was like, hi, what are you guys up to? And girls too.
Any of them gay?
No.
Oh, come on. More gays in VC. They more were gays not in VC.
Gay. They were definitively not gay, and those girls were not girls, girls. I'll tell you that much.
Should we predict? Maybe not predict. Should we manifest a boys club we want to be in 2025?
Gay bars.
All right. Let me hear
Here's why. Not that I'm trying to change anything about myself, but that question that I posed at dinner, which I like do earnestly wonder, why am I, do I reject that world with such ferocity? Is this internalized homophobia? Is this a fear of men? Mm-hmm. Like, I think that I need to figure out that out and then be like, why do I live in New York and I like have never been to Animal? I want to go to Animal.
Yeah.
And be like, what is Animal?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I think it's both probably. I think it's probably, I think both of those things probably contribute to, and then also you're sober. So it's not like you're like always going to bars.
That I'm sober. I literally do. I'm always like, oh, but I'm not so sober.
Oh, right. Yeah. There's that. So I don't know if like, obviously that like,
plays how much
into
it of too. That becomes an excuse, like we talked about in the, I think the prior episode where it's like how much of your like things that you.
Well, I mean, I don't, okay, to be fair to that, it's like, okay, you know, if you let yourself be somebody who's like, oh, I'll never have a good life because I can't go to bars because yeah. I'm afraid of men and I can't drink and I...
The difference between me and a good life is the X-Lay. It's like, that's where my dreams are at, the X-Lay.
The difference between me is a pop-up in Bushwick. No,
could
it's
you imagine
like,
the X-Lay? Yeah, under the BQE, that's where you're going to find yourself. No.
Hey, at least they have the they have the flag there? Out there. I did, yeah, I did piss there one time. Which thank you to the X-Lay for your bathrooms.
Thank you.
But yeah, I think if you were in a place where you were like, "That's why I'm unhappy," or "That's why I'm this," or that would be like, "All right, maybe not." But I think it's totally fair to question why you're hesitant.
Yeah,
and to because obviously you have to like give yourself the permission to like understand that stuff about yourself and to you know accept that that's something you struggled with and. Question it and try to get to the place where you don't feel so pressured by those things or so under the weight of those things when you
totally.
Step into a gay bar.
Yeah, that makes
sense. Ideally they should be fun.
Gay bars are supposed to be fun.
Yeah.
Make gay bars fun again
so
in 2024.
You want to go to more gay bars in 2025?
I want to go to 27 gay bars to represent each of the lesbian bars that are in existence, period.
To represent all 27 lesbian bars that are in this country, we are going to go to all 27 gay bars in Hell's Kitchen, New York City. That's right, folks. In a 500-foot radius, there are 27.
That's a business that should exist. There should be another lesbian bar. We always talk about businesses. Yeah. I don't know that we're the people to open it up.
Probably not, but...
Maybe we'll give money one day to someone to open a lesbian bar.
Yeah, the bummer about lesbian bars in New York is like we have so few, and the best queer lesbian parties that I've been to have been like the... like. Kind of like one-offs that like DJs like Pat and stuff like that DJs put up. The only thing that's a bummer about those, it's like because they're once every month or once every couple months, it's like so once a month all the lesbians, all the queers, all the dykes in New York City get together and we see everybody and then see you next month. And it's like I wish we had like a regular watering hole that was like you could just kind of go.
Do you know what gay guys could do that would be like a good thing that they could do one time?
Be what the NBA is to the WNBA and be a financial supporter.
Oh my god. Yes, and also
until it can stand on its own.
Yes, I didn't know that was happening. That's interesting.
Well, that's
wait,
how like
Cynthia Erivo. I didn't know that was happening. You know, dude, have you seen that video? I can't even imagine doing.
We're holding space.
I didn't know that was happening.
You know that's happening. You gotta watch Angelina Jolie and Cynthia Erivo's actors on Access. They look like they might like fuck off camera
totally.
At any moment. Like they're like, I really hope we stay friends.
Wait, not to be like, did they meet on that interview?
And yeah, first time meeting, and they were like so into each other. But I. No, so basically, to give you context, the NBA, the WNBA started as sort of like a financial partner slash subsidiary of the NBA. So it was like those franchises, like let's say, for example, like the New York Liberty were associated with the Nets or something.
Yeah.
And they like had a share. Now, I don't think that's so much shared back offices anymore. I don't know for sure. Don't check me on that. But it used to be so that they would just like be able to financially support them so that they could keep the league afloat as sort of like a portion of the NBA until it has been able to like. Obviously, now it's a self-sustaining thing.
I think $3 bill should say, this is lesbian and Connor night. And it should be, they should give their whole space.
Yeah.
For tea.
Yeah.
And that is what should happen.
They should have an equal and opposite to Thai tea.
It should be G night and then LBTQ.
Yeah.
C.
Yeah.
Connor. So
plus. Plus Connor.
Those are the two things.
L plus Connor.
That's what I would really love.
LBT plus. LBTQ plus.
Yes.
Yeah, sorry gays, but.
Because that, also like seeing how much money Pat must make so much fucking money. Like.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I guess I don't know how much goes to the DJ or how much goes to the bar. I don't know. I mean, definitely the bar is popping off. I mean, every time I've been there for Pat, it's got to be 300 plus people in there.
Yeah.
Easily, maybe more. I mean, I have no sense of space, but.
I'm excited to figure out what's going on with gay bars in 2025.
Yeah.
Maybe that'll be one of our boys clubs that we do.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. My boys club I'm trying to be a part of in 2025 is I'm trying to be a part of the I'm trying to get back into the boys club of reading. I'm trying to be back on my reading grind. I'm trying to read more. I'm trying to get less on my phone. That's been my goal for so long, but I'm really trying to
read more
and be off the phone more.
Well, good luck with that. No, just kidding. I have to read. It's like literally embarrassing.
Yeah.
It's like the most embarrassing thing about me right now.
It's hard to read.
It's so boring. You just have to keep reading. You have to keep looking at the words, even when your brain goes somewhere else.
It's really, and you have to bring it back. It's like you can't tune out or you'll...
It's almost like you have to read out loud or you're going to be totally somewhere else.
Yeah. But I'm just trying to read more too, because obviously that makes you a better writer and like... all those good things, but I'm trying to read.
We need to be writing better books. No, there's so many books. There's just,
I know.
Like, generations and centuries of books.
Yeah, and I'm trying to give myself the, like, I'm trying to also, like, have, like, plays sitting around, too, so if I'm, like, I don't want to read anything, like, hard right now, I can read something that's more, like, dialogue dense.
Alexander Smithline had...
God bless him.
...in his home the Fleabag scripts, and I made a mental note to order those, and then I never did.
Maddie has them.
I want the Fleabag scripts.
Yeah.
I'm going to get those on the Amazon today with my mousetraps. So I'm going to get mousetraps and Fleabag scripts.
If you see the Fleabag scripts in a mousetrap, don't be alarmed. Just you're at Connor's house.
That might be a nice, yeah. I mean, I have all these books and I've loved so many of them. You know, Emotional Intelligence.
Untamed.
They're all about AIDS or emotional intelligence.
Where the Crawdads Sing. That's actually a great book.
Out East is Gay.
The Great Gatsby.
Unwasted.
All About Love. Comedy book. I loved that book. You never read comedy book?
I'm embarrassed.
I thought you read it.
I finished. It's okay. It's not that I wasn't interested. It's a neurodivergence.
Yeah, for
sure.
Is
there purple on my chin?
No.
Oh, thank God. No. They're like, the lavender's one is on sale. There's the only one on sale.
They're like, please take it. Take a few. Have this for free.
Literally purple.
Yeah.
Is that it for the year?
Yeah, I mean, I think we had a wonderful year. Boys, we're going to be back next week in 2025. Wow. The podcast started in 2022. So this is our third, we're coming up on our third year of the podcast.
Really?
Yeah, started in 2022.
Are you sure?
100%.
March?
Yeah. April 1st.
I was thinking, because our show, I was like, this is our fourth Christmas spectacular.
It's our third.
Because we canceled one because of Omicron.
Oh, yeah.
2021. Canceled.
Yeah,
and we had 22, 23, 24.
Mm-hmm. But so this is our third one.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
Remember that show we canceled because of Omicron? And we're like, we'll never get a show up off the. It was like our second show.
It was like our third show. We're like, we're fucked.
November.
Sideways.
We went. I think we started Omicron. The number of shows we were having that November.
I know.
We did the stand, and we did that horrible
Saint
vegan
Mark's.
Place. And I'll say it on this podcast. Yeah. I didn't like it there.
No, and I went back there. I think the vegan part shut down.
That's good.
Remember that guy was sleeping.
The guy that did a set.
Yeah.
Didn't he do a set?
Yeah. It's always for anybody at home who is looking to do comedy, if somebody who runs the venue wants to do a spot run,
I thought you were going to say, anywhere if you're else. Trying to get into comedy, can I recommend opening a club? Because then you can do the spot.
Many spots. Or yeah, if you want to take that approach, but you might never be respected by comedians.
Because we remember that man, we don't remember his name. we're trying to do mostly queer
bed.
Lineup. Yeah, that's really dark.
That's the other thing. It's like, know who you've booked and whether or not maybe your voice needs to be on this show.
Yeah.
Anyway, boys, we'll be back in 2025. I cannot understate how much exciting stuff we have coming out in 2025.
Thank you guys so much.
We are moving and shaking. It's going to be more than just this podcast. So if you want to be some of the first to see what we got going, you're going to want to subscribe to that YouTube right now. Send it to a friend. That could be your Christmas gift to us, is to subscribe.
If we get 3,000 subscribers, I show whole.
And if we get 30,000, I show whole. Both of them. Just kidding.
So
you won't get both of them for 30,000. I'm going to need 30,000 million dollars for that.
Is that a lot of subscribers?
30,000?
Is that a lot?
Yeah, it's a pretty good number.
What does Kelsey Kyle have?
I don't know. Who's her? We're hovering around less than that, but we're on our way. We're on our way. Anything else?
No.
Happy 2024 over. We love you guys.
If we sat here for like 2 hours and we didn't see a mouse, then there must not be a mouse.
Yeah, I don't think he got one.
Are you serious?
Or if that, he's doesn't want to hear this podcast.
I'm like going into credit card debt to get traps. Do you understand? Like I'm like literally like pulling out all the ribs.
What is this trap? A gun.
Whatever it takes. I become a hunter.
hunting small game.
I'm sad this is over.
Well, we'll be back in 2025.
Bye, everybody.
Love you.